We are four friends in three states across two time zones with a shared passion. Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we hit the fast lane to discuss our favorite drives, from the track and the ice to the court and the ball fields. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those last lap lead changes, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage. All right, welcome to another episode of the Sports Talk Garage podcast. My name is Dave, joined by Matt. John is taking the night off, but we're still going to press on. However, we just passed the sports equinox this past Sunday, the only day in 2019 where we had NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL games. I believe there were 26. But one thing with NBA, that's been going for a couple weeks now, but in about 2 weeks, or actually a week or so, college basketball is starting. It's a great time. We all grew up in the South in ACC country, so it's near and dear to our hearts. And we wanted to bring on a gentleman tonight who is immersed in college basketball. He, where I can tell, he seems to know pretty much everything there is and very involved with it. Jake Adkins from Kentucky. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing good. How about you, man?
We're very well. Happy to have you on. Kind of met Jake through social media. He is constantly throwing out facts and predictions and everything that there is to know about college basketball. So we're happy to have him on for this episode, just doing a little preview of the upcoming season. So Jake, the floor is yours. You can tell us about yourself, what you do.
Yeah, I'm actually a college student. I'm a sophomore in college, and like you said, college basketball is my favorite sport, and I'm constantly watching games, you know, anytime they're on, trying to study up, learn new things. And you can find me at my Twitter handle, Jake from KY. I'm usually always on, so you can just connect with me and just talk about anything you want college basketball related.
Awesome. So since you said you are in Kentucky, I got to ask a question. Kentucky or Louisville?
I don't really pick a side there, man. I'm kind of unbiased, you know.
Okay.
I just try to, you know, watch everybody objectively and just enjoy the game.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, since you are kind of objective, which is hard to do, because for me, we grew up in North Carolina, so you got Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, and NC State. So we had a plethora of colleges to choose from.
No, you have Duke, you have Carolina, and then you have all the other teams that may or may not make the tournament.
So we were split. I'm a Carolina fan. Matt's the only Dukie around, so we give him a lot of grief for that when we can.
But yeah, I'd say that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, we have some good trash-talking conversations every year, so that's always fun. But anyway, every time after March Madness ends, there's always that way too early preseason top 25 looking far ahead. But now that we've actually arrived to the college basketball season, there's the actual AP top 25 poll for preseason. And, you know, there's a lot of the big names that you would expect to see in there. So let's just kind of do an overall preview. So kind of from a high level, from looking at the top 25, does it seem like it's right, or is it grossly incorrect where you think, wow, they left out a lot of teams that should be in there? Or what's your thoughts on it just from a high level?
Well, my initial thoughts was overall, I don't have too many problems with it.
Okay.
Obviously, the number one team preseason going in, I believe almost everybody agrees that it's Michigan State, you know, bringing back a lot of key players from a Final Four team from last year. But overall, there's a couple things that I disagree with, and we can get into that. But, you know, from an overall standpoint, I don't have too many problems with it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely Michigan State. I would have been extremely shocked if they were not number one. I was surprised, though, that Duke is four. ACC was not as well represented as I hoped they would have been. But there's a lot of good teams there. So, I mean, it's hard to argue with the majority of what's in there. But what would you say is maybe the biggest surprise of a team that was left out of the top 25?
Well, for me, that would be probably Alabama. And I look at Alabama a little bit differently than some of the national media and stuff like that do. I'm looking at Alabama, and I think that's probably the fourth best team in the SEC. And I think they're going to spend a lot of time in the top 25. They got a stud point guard in Kyra Lewis, who I think is going to really rise on draft boards this season, playing in Nate Oates' system. And they got some good pieces around him. Petty, you know, I really like their roster, and I think Nate Oates is going to have them playing really well.
He's, I think, an underappreciated coach from Alabama, and as much as I dislike Alabama on the college football side, it would be pretty cool to see them make some noise in this year's tournament. If I would assume that they would get into March Madness, but that would be pretty cool to see. So kind of on the flip side, what team is maybe ranked higher than you would expect them to?
A team that's ranked higher than I expect is Utah State, and I kind of get where they're going with this. They were the co-conference champions in the Mountain West last year. They return Sam Merrill and Nemea Shikata. But this year, I think it's a little bit different situation because everybody knows, like, who they are this year. They've arrived. They'll have that target on their back, whereas last year they were kind of, you know, surprising some teams. They were an underdog. So I think they got that target on their back this year. And a lot of people don't remember they kind of got blown out last year in the tournament by Washington. And I think they're being a little bit overrated because we remember Nevada was getting all the hype too.
Yeah.
From the Mountain West last year, and they didn't quite meet the preseason expectations. So I think Utah State's a little bit too high.
Okay. So one team that I kind of thought was a little over in here is actually St. Mary's. I know they're probably one of the best mid-major teams. I don't really know if I have a solid reason to back it up, other than I just don't think they should be top 25. Had just a little bit of attrition, but I think they will still make some noise throughout the season, but I probably would not have put them in top 25. Matt, is there anything just kind of overall here with you? Any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm kind of looking at Oregon here because I think they can swing either way. I think Bol Bol was one of the hardest guys to really match up with when he was healthy. And they still made a good run last year, but it, you know, I was expecting a little bit more in the end season. Now they've lost a good handful of players, and they still have good ones behind them. But I'm still kind of pitching that one around in my brain on up, down, or sideways. Now, I will say I'm excited for Ohio State to actually get this rank. I think that one might be a little high. I don't know if they belong in the top 25 at this point. But I'm excited just because the head coach is a Taylor grad, so it's kind of cool to see my alma mater pop somebody in the major division. So I'll throw that one out there for fun.
All right, so kind of just looking through this list, it's littered with the big names that you would expect, you know, the Power Five conferences. But if you kind of take a step back and look at maybe some mid-major teams, seems that not everybody across the nation is as familiar with. Jake, what's a maybe one or two mid-major teams that's going to surprise people this year that we're not necessarily aware of right now?
Well, I'll start off with my first one, and it's Western Kentucky. Looking at this roster, there's a lot of talent. It's just a question of are they going to be able to meet their expectations? Because Rick Stansbury and Western Kentucky, they've had talented rosters before that were picked to win Conference USA preseason that didn't get it done. But just looking at it from a talent standpoint, Charles Bassey, he's a center who – he's somebody that can be a potential lottery pick, and you don't see that a lot at the mid-major level. You got Tavion Hollingsworth, who's a really good guard. And I believe someone who's being underrated, and I might be a little bit biased on this since he played high school ball around where I grew up, Cameron Justice. He's a transfer from IUPUI.
Okay.
He can
ooey pooey.
He can really. I think he can really put up some points if they need him to, whether that be off the bench or if they want to put him in the starting lineup. But and three men, we've mentioned this. College basketball bloggers. They kind of said this, and I agree with them. There's a lot of talent on this roster, but there's also only one ball to go around. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they spread the ball out, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, there's only so many shots you can get up in a game, so you got to make sure everybody's happy with that and not trying to hog the ball and play too much one-on-one there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's what kind of makes it exciting in this sport, especially around the college, is, you know, you're taking all the high schools, because basketball is one of those sports that isn't super expensive. It's not a football where it's thousands of dollars a year to put together all the equipment and all those things. It's, you need a place to shoot, two hoops, and a pair of tennis shoes. So right. you've got a cheaper sport that you get a lot more play in. You can come from any level and be taken up to major or mid-major because they see that talent and they know how to develop it. And few of these schools, like a Kentucky or a Duke or a Carolina, all of your bigger hits are the ones that are used to the one-hit, one-year wonders, and it's just trying to figure out how to make them play. And like you said, getting these guys to work together long enough to pass the ball around a little bit just to get some shots in, because everybody's trying to make the majors after year one, usually.
Right. And something just to kind of bounce off that. So pretty much at this level, everybody on the team is probably the best player on their high school team. So they probably were the dominating player. They had the green light to shoot whenever they want, the best defender. So now that they're moving up a level, they have to learn that they may not be the best player on their team. So they got to learn to work with others, have that chemistry there, and just realize, you know, it's a team sport. I may have led my high school in points, but that might not happen at the next level.
Yeah. And another team that I was kind of looking at from the mid-major ranks, and I'm not sure if this one has been as slept on as WKU per se, because a lot of people I've seen are actually kind of high on this team, is Harvard. And looking at them, there's a lot of talent on this team for an Ivy League school. You got Bryce Aiken, who's a scoring machine. You got Seth Towns back. That's two players right there that are probably good enough to win the Ivy League Player of the Year. Wow. And you got good supporting players in Justin Bassey. You got Christian Juzang, who is the brother of Johnny Juzang at Kentucky. You got Noah Kirkwood. They've got a really good roster to be an Ivy League school, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not too often that we hear about Ivy Leagues or see them on, you know, ESPN, ABC. So that's probably one of those ESPNUs or maybe something like that. I don't know what it would be called, the Ivy League channel that you'd have to watch. But
you heard it here first, folks. WKU and Harvard, teams that need to be watched in the upcoming year.
For sure.
And with that, I'm going to have to try to find a way to watch a couple games from both of those this season, just kind of see how they look compared to where their competition is, because I'm interested after you said that. So let's switch gears back a little bit, kind of to the top teams, as, you know, we're in this preseason era. March Madness is, you know, 5-6 months away. Who do you see as kind of being the top four teams getting to that Final Four this year?
Well, I'm going to go kind of cliche here. Okay. I'm going to go with, you know, there's always a team that kind of sneaks into the Final Four that we didn't think would be there. Mm-hmm. But just looking at the preseason rosters and how they're made up, I have these four teams that kind of stand out: Michigan State, Kansas, Louisville, and Florida. And the things that you see with those four teams are experience, really good leaders. I could see a team being a sleeper team and making the Final Four, like a Xavier or a Seton Hall or someone like that. But if you had to ask me, the four teams that I'm most confident in, looking at their rosters on paper and haven't saw any games from them, those are the four teams that I'm the most confident in.
Okay, so it's interesting hearing, you know, experience and veteran leadership, which is vastly different than all these, you know, big hitters who are just, you know, get the star recruit in who's there for a year and move on to the NBA or some level of professional basketball. So are we possibly getting to a time where that one and done may not be as important, and veteran leadership and experience will pay off in a sense?
Yeah, I've actually thought about that recently too. And you look at kind of Duke's recruiting class for I believe it's 2020. They're going after some four-star guys, some guys that I see that could be in college for multiple years. So I think we could see that going forward.
So do you think that's maybe like a changing of the landscape overall, or just a different recruiting philosophy by Coach K?
Well, I think experience has sort of always been kind of very important in college basketball. But I tend to think, and I may be wrong, but I think that's maybe him preparing for the future of maybe one and done kind of going down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I believe I saw somewhere where in the class of like 2022 or something, when Imani Bates is going to be coming out of high school, that the rule might be changed or something to where players could go from high school to the NBA.
Yeah.
And I might be wrong on that, but if that does happen, you got to kind of prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, I agree. We did talk about that a long time ago, but the NBA is definitely looking at switching that one and done rule back to, you know, coming out of high school where go straight into the pros. And basketball is that one sport where it's a lot easier physically. It's not as much of a change as maybe football, where guys have developed more. I mean, those top high school athletes.
There's a lot more development league to the NBA than there is, like you said, physically, athletically for some others. I think between baseball and basketball, you have more opportunity to go through a development league and get paid than you do to go through an education, which if you're getting paid, if you talk to most of the guys that did a one and done or whatever, they know they can go up there. They only get so many years with their bodies, come back, get paid, and then do your education while you're running around wherever off season.
Right.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm excited. This starts in about a little over a week. I think on November 5th, we got our first slate of games coming on. So I live in ACC country. I know that I'll be going to a few games this year. But we're going to go ahead, take a brief break, just give our spare time. And we'll be back with Jake Atkins in just a few moments.
Hey, Sports Talk Garage podcast friends. Matt here. Let's talk for a minute. Most of us have made a sports bet or two with friends or coworkers at some point on our favorite teams. But when you want to make a bet past a bragging rights stage, or for more than $5, it can be difficult outside of visiting a casino, which usually isn't very accessible. Well, MyBookie is the way to make that happen if you're not sitting at Caesar's Palace or MGM Book in Vegas. MyBookie is a premier place to bet on all your favorite pro or college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. Best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LATEFEES to activate the offer. That's promo code LATEFEES, all one word, to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, and welcome back to the Sports Talk Garage podcast. So I thank our sponsors again. We love working with them. I hope you will certainly try them out. We've had a great experience with them and hope that you will too. Again, we had Jake Atkins on tonight, college basketball connoisseur, genius, know-it-all, it seems like. So we're happy to have him on tonight. The first half of the episode.
Know it all in a good way.
In a good way. Definitely. That was definitely a compliment in that sense. But as we've kind of looked at teams overall with the top 25, maybe a mid-major and final four projections, let's kind of break it down to the individual level. Look at some different players. Just kind of looking at the whole landscape, there's a few names that really pop out. But, Jake, who do you think could be the potential player of the year at the end of this season?
Well, I'm going with Cassius Winston, returning AP first team All American from last year. He's not someone who I think is going to kill it in the NBA. He's not an athletic freak, but what he is he's a great leader and he's a great point guard at the college level. When you look at Cassius Winston, you're looking at a player that averaged almost 19 points a game last year, 7 assists. And he should end up shooting 40% from three. He's just an absolute floor general. I think he's the best point guard in college basketball this year. Maybe not the most talented, but the best.
Oh, he will definitely have a place on an NBA roster, probably as a good role player, filling in as like that backup point guard role. But, yeah, I too have him as my player of the year. Michigan State is – I think they will kind of live and die as he goes throughout the season. As long as he's doing well, they have a very good shot of, you know, winning the championship at the end of this year. He is a little bit undersized, 6'1", 185. You know, as you said, he is a great floor general, great leader, and I think the team really feeds off his energy. One other guy who I'm going to throw out there, tell me what you think, Jordan Nwora from Louisville. Do you think he has the potential to claim that title at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think he can. I think Jordan Nwora is a really good scorer. He's a good shooter. He's really smooth with the ball. And Louisville, I'm thinking that they're my preseason pick to win the ACC regular season crown. And I think Jordan Nwora, he's an absolute stud.
Man, that hurts my heart to say that Louisville might win the ACC. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We'll move on from that and on to Defensive Player of the Year. Matt, you have any thoughts on this one?
I don't. I think that there's so many good choices out there. I'm going to be really rough on this topic just because of, you know, I think that there's been a strong showing, and I haven't done enough research into this. Like you said, it's all the preseason goodies that, you know, you want to give to people way too far ahead. And there's a lot of great talent that's walking in that has a chance to play. So I'm going to stay out of this one myself for a little bit.
Okay.
But that's just me.
All right, Jake.
For me, I'm with him. I think there's a lot of good players to consider here. I actually like the guards this year in college basketball, defensive-wise, a lot of good on-ball defenders. But I'm probably going to go with Ashton Hagans from Kentucky. He was co-defensive player of the year last year in the SEC with Tremont Waters, I believe it was. He averaged almost 2 steals a game last year. So there's not much I can say here other than the kid's an on-ball pest. It's just hard to dribble against him or initiate any offense against him. He gets up in your grill, and he causes deflections, steals the ball. He's just a really good on-ball defender. And especially since he's so young, you know. You know what I'm saying? He was supposed to be in high school last year and was playing at Kentucky.
That's crazy. And
his offensive game wasn't that great. Struggled shooting the ball, but obviously the defensive side of the ball, that is his strength, and he's a really good on-ball defender.
And I can see any coach being happy and letting a guy have minutes. As long as you're playing defense, the offense will eventually get there. But if you're expelling energy and hustling on every play, I'd be happy keeping him in the game. Especially, as you said, when he's supposed to be in high school and he's playing at Kentucky, one of the top teams in the nation, he's definitely going to grow into that role offensively. One kid that I have, and I absolutely hate saying this because of where he's going to play, Trey Jones at Duke.
Yeah, he's in that same mold, I believe.
That point guard body, he's a great defender. And I hate saying it because he's at Duke, and I'm not a Duke fan whatsoever, being a Tar Heel, but he's got a good shot to at least be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, and I know that's going to make Matt happy just hearing that right now.
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue that.
Let's switch other side of the ball. Go to Offensive Player of the Year. Who's on your mind, Jake?
What jumps out to me immediately when thinking about this is Marcus Howard. Put up 25 points a game last year for Marquette. And just looking back, this is just going to give you a sense of how great this guy is on the offensive side of the ball. He scored 53 points at Creighton last year in an overtime win back in January. You know, just looking at that, 53 points, that's just insane stat line to me. And 40% from three, which I believe that's very impressive considering the volume of shots that he was putting up per game, and he's still staying up there in that 40% range. You know, a lot of people you see putting up this huge volume from three, their percentage kind of takes a decline, but not Howard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's good. And Marquette is one of those teams that, you know, they're so far away in Wisconsin. They're good, and they're just always around, it seems like. Like, they never – go down on the rankings. There's always one of those top teams, and they're always going to be there. They're always going to fight, and I'm impressed by them. Yeah, Marcus Howard is definitely good. It's kind of funny we're sticking with that guard theme tonight. None of the bigs are getting any love. What about Cole Anthony, UNC freshman coming in? Do you think he has a shot of making some noise?
I think he does because
– had to pull up a heel, didn't you? Sorry.
I had to.
No, sorry. I think Cole Anthony, he does just because of how much they're going to rely on him for offense this year. He's going to be given the reins from day one from Roy Williams. And, you know, scoring guards have excelled in the past in that North Carolina offense. And I think he's going to be consistent enough to where he's going to be putting up over 20 points a game, in my opinion.
Ooh, I'm happy to hear that. All right, so going from player to year, what about most improved player coming from last season? Who's going to take that big jump, become maybe raise that stock to second round in the lottery or potential lottery pick? Who's going to make that jump this year?
Let's see. Who's going to make a big jump this year? I think Trey Jones, going back to what we said earlier, and it may not be a popular pick, but I believe he's going to take a huge step this year with Zion, with Cam, with RJ gone. I believe he's going to be him and probably either Carey or Hurt are going to be the best players on the team. I think he's going to be relied on to do a lot, and I haven't really seen it in an actual game yet, obviously. But I think his jumper is going to be improved. I think he's going to be much better in a larger role this year for Duke.
Definitely. Yeah, Duke was definitely a force with, you know, the big personalities who are, you know, moved on to the NBA. It's kind of easy to, as good as he, you know, will be, it's kind of easy to get lost in just the conversation of great Duke players right now. But yeah, he definitely has the potential to, you know, be one of the top guys, and you know, they're always on television, so he's going to get lots of screen time and airtime for the viewing public to see. So kind of last thing on this topic, let's go over to the bench and look at the coaches. Just one guy, and you know, I feel like I'm sticking with Michigan State, one guy I think who has potential to be coach of the year if they win is Tom Izzo. The man is always got his team on right. He's one of those coaches who will get in your face, he'll yell at you, and some people are not a fan of that. A lot of his players seem to like it, and they feel like he's a fantastic coach. You know, he's got his team fighting. He's back in. One other guy I could see, you know, they did win last year, so this one's probably a little cliche, but Tony Bennett. You know, they're ranked number 11 in the preseason polls. But, you know, he's a great man. Guys love playing for him. So those are going to be my two Coach of the Year candidates preseason. What about you guys?
For me, I really like that Michigan State Tom Izzo pick. I'm kind of with you there on Tony Bennett and Virginia. They obviously lost a lot from last year, you know, Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy. But he's a really good X's and O's coach, Tony Bennett. He might actually be the best X's and O's coach in the game. And a lot of people are taking a step back on them last year because of the players that they lost. But I think he's going to put them in a position to excel this year, and I believe they could exceed preseason expectations. Because when you look at Virginia all the time, they might not always have the best roster on paper, but it seems like they're always right in the thick of things because Tony Bennett has that team playing well. He knows the game, and he knows how to develop players.
So this definitely was not planned. It just kind of popped in my mind. So earlier we did mention Kansas. And, you know, everybody's heard about Bill Self and what's going on. We talked about, you know, the NCAA or in a few episodes ago, just kind of the NCAA and Bill Self. And so what are your thoughts on that whole situation in Kansas right now?
Well, I kind of liked it from Kansas, you know, kind of slapping the NCAA in the face a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Kind of mocking them, it seemed like, with Snoop Dogg and with, you know, the big Adidas shirt. But what I really didn't like from that is if you're going to do that, I would like them to, like, own up to it. And it seems like Kansas and Bill Self kind of took a step back and, like, apologized and stuff. If you're going to do those things, and I believe he fully knew what he was doing. So I would rather see him, you know, come out and just own it instead of apologizing and backing up.
Yeah, if you're going to be willing to make a statement, no matter what that statement is, you know, own up to it, be a man, especially – you know, the position you hold, a high-profile position in sports, be willing to at least, you know, on what you said, and I think he did know what he's doing. So I'm just going to throw one last question out there. Outside of Michigan saying these top four, give us one Cinderella team who's going to make a lot of noise in the March Madness.
A team that I really like is Xavier. They're returning a lot of players from last year. Najee Marshall, Quentin Gooden, Paul Scruggs, Tyreek Jones, and they're bringing in the grad transfer. I believe his name's Jason Carter. I'm really high on Xavier. I think they have the potential to possibly sneak up and either finish second or even win the Big East. I'm really high on them. They got a lot of experience. You remember Quentin Gooden was on that Elite Eight team, I believe it was, that went to the Elite Eight and got some upsets that year, a couple years ago. So I'm really high on Xavier. I think towards the end of last year, they got things clicking, and you saw that come off in wins. They wasn't as great early on with the transition from Chris Mack to Travis Steele. But once they started figuring things out a little bit, you saw the wins start showing up.
Definitely.
And I believe that's going to carry over into this year, and I'm really high on Xavier.
Okay. It's been interesting hearing different thoughts on teams that I'm not always maybe as familiar with or watch on a consistent basis, just probably based on location and proximity to some of the ACC schools that are around me. It's definitely been good having you on. For everybody out there, you can certainly find Jake on Twitter at Jake from KY. KY for Kentucky. Pretty much on a daily basis, there's multiple tweets coming out and contact and engagement on different college basketball topics and polls. So go look him up. Great resource, great to engage with, always active on there. So make sure you look him up. He's been featured on Bleacher Report as well, which is pretty cool. But Jake, thanks for coming on tonight. It's been a privilege having you on.
Yeah, I thank you guys for having me on and talking with you guys. It's been fun.
We'd love to have you back once the season gets moving along a little bit.
Absolutely.
A little different perspective again.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that sounds good.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks for coming on, and have a wonderful evening, Jake.
You too, man.
All right. Well, as we move on, we're going to go over our predictions, just kind of recapping what happened last week in week 8, and then our producer, Chris, has given us some week 9 predictions to go through. So last week, Wisconsin Badgers at Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State going into this game was favored by 14, ended up winning by 31 points.
14 wasn't even in there in the second half. That was a destruction. And I love that you can hear pretty much all the announcers going through at that point saying, who else do you throw up there for the most powerful team in the nation?
And that's it.
That's hard. Yeah.
Wisconsin was rolling until, they got blasted by Ohio State. So, myself.
Taylor had, I think, 52 yards the entire game. Which running back for Wisconsin. For that's
he was stopped.
Amazing on defense for that to happen.
Yeah, so Chris is the only one who went with Wisconsin on this one. So, Chris is out of point right here. Poor guy.
It's going to happen eventually.
It will.
Nah.
So, second college game for last week, Auburn Tigers and LSU Tigers. So matchup of the Tigers here. Over-under was at 58.5. Final was only 43. Chris and John went under. I thought it would for sure be over. That's the second time I've gotten bit by two high-scoring offenses not getting close to what they should have. So I think I might have to learn my lesson on that one for almost 2 weeks in a row for that. So Chris and John get a point. Matt and I are going to be on the losing side of that one.
Yeah.
Third game, our first NBA game that Chris gave us, the Lakers and the Clippers, the Battle of L.A. Clippers were favored by 2.5, ended up winning by 10. So Lakers, it's going to take a while for their chemistry to click in with LeBron and AD, and they got some work to do. But myself and John will take that one. Matt and Chris will fit the Lakers and both not getting a point there.
Go figure. Put your money on LeBron.
Yeah.
Doesn't cut it.
So this next one, this next one was about as bad as it gets. Panthers at 49ers. 49ers are favored by 4.5. Completely destroyed the Panthers. They won by 38 points. That was one of the worst games in recent memory that I've seen. And I almost don't want to talk about it because it was so bad. John and Matt both went 49ers. I went with my heart, not my mind on that one, and got screwed. So no point for John or for Chris or I on that one. And then lastly, battle here, Duke and Carolina. We always talk about basketball, but it was fun to do a little football there. Carolina favored by 3.5, only won by 3. So while Carolina still won the actual game, they didn't cover. So Matt got the point.
Yeah, told you.
And
in fact, I honestly thought Duke had it in hand up until like the last quarter, really. I was starting to get yelled at in the restaurant because I was jumping up and down and everybody was just staring at me, but totally worth it.
So at least they took a loss, so I can at least, you know, take that actual loss on the record book, so I'm happy with that. Week 9 predictions. We got some good games coming for you. Number 8, Georgia, 6-1, playing at number 6, Florida, 7-1. This is actually a neutral site game. It's called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It's going to be in Jacksonville, so kind of like that halfway point in between. 3:30 on CBS on Saturday. Georgia is currently favored by 5.5 points. What are you thinking, Matt?
Oh, you can start with me, huh? Nice. Hey, look, I told you at the start of this year, I thought Georgia was a little overrated after coming off of a major upset with South Carolina, which just goes to show you that any given Saturday, the best coaches will say there's no such thing as walking over another team. Anybody can show up and surprise you if they want it more and they're willing to work for it. So, you know, I think right now, chomp chomp, I'm still going with the Gators. They did good for me so far this season, so I'm looking forward to seeing that, you know, at the cocktail, they come home with the best of the weenies and whatever else is served.
All right. So Florida, John and Chris are also going Florida. I'm actually going Georgia with this one. I know this might sound crazy. Florida's only loss is to LSU, which is, you know, one of the top three teams in the country. I think this might be a little too much for them. Georgia's going to come back. This is essentially the battle of the SEC East. Pretty much whoever's going to play LSU or Alabama for the SEC title. I think that's going to weigh in on Georgia wanting to get back there. So Georgia's going to take this one. So I'm going to go out on a limb, be by myself, and go Georgia here. Game number 2 of the week. Going down to the Southern Conference, or excuse me, South. Georgia Southern at 4-3, playing number 20, Appalachian State, still undefeated at 7-0. It's going to be a primetime game this coming Thursday at 8 p.m. on ESPNU. App State is currently favored by 16.5 points. Just a little fun fact for you. Georgia Southern beat App State last year to spoil their first week in the top 25 poll, which is kind of funny that App State is now ranked number 20 in the top 25 poll with their undefeated season. So Chris is going App State. John is going App State. I'm going App State here. I think they're just rolling. Georgia Southern doesn't have what it takes to come back and pull them down.
Nope, I agree. And I think Scott Satterfield set up one of the best teams he's ever put together. And it's, you know, kind of hard to lose with a team that looks that good, not only on paper, but on the field. So doesn't go Mountaineers.
App State's getting 41 points a game on offense, only allowing 19 on defense. And offensively, they're, you know, pretty even here. They're passing for about 195 a game, running for 244 a game. They got that good ground game, but it's still split. You know, kind of like that 60-40, so it's about where you want, especially as weather's getting colder and teams are going to start running just a little bit more. So game number 3, moving over to NFL, we have the Green Bay Packers at 7-1, flying out to L.A. to face the Chargers at 3-5 on Sunday, 4:25. Packers are favored by 3.5 on the road. I'll start this one off. Packers are dominating. Aaron Rodgers seems to be unstoppable right now. The Chargers are decimated with injuries. I think there's going to be more Green Bay jerseys in the stadium in LA than there will be Charger jerseys. This is essentially going to be a home game for the Green Bay. I'm going with the Packers here.
Absolutely. I think the Packers are one of those teams to beat this year. They're beatable by far, but they're clicking and they're firing on all cylinders right now. Aaron Jones is running his mind out. Rodgers is spreading the field and has no problem doing that and even getting some run yards in himself. So as long as he's healthy, team looks good. I think they're going to be the hard ones to beat.
Okay, so Chris and John also going Packers. So not much separation here. We're all picking App State. We're all picking the Packers. Hopefully we're going to be right on this one because I at least want to get some points if we're all getting the same thing.
Oh, here we go. Next one's going to be good. Are you going to change your ways?
Do I realize the error of my ways? We'll see New England, the Patriots, Tom Brady still undefeated at 8-0, going to Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson at 5-2. This will be a Sunday night game, so a primetime option. The over-under is 44.5 points. Chris is going over. John is going over. What are you going to do, Matt?
Oh, are they really both going over? Daggone it, that changes my plans. Defense versus Lamar here. Jackson. Oh, gosh, they're all going over. I'm going to say under.
Okay, you're going under. I am...
Because it's 44 and a half or less, right?
It's well, 44 and a half is a push. 44
points. Right, as long as or it's 44 less, yeah. points.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll go under. Let's just see what happens. I hate to do this right now, but whatever.
Yeah, so I'm torn here. The last two high-scoring offenses I've picked over, they've both gotten under. At the same time, the Patriots defense is playing at an unbelievable level. I think, if I'm right, they've scored four touchdowns on defense, and they've only allowed like three touchdowns to opposing offenses. Like they are on just an astronomical level. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson is just out of his mind crazy right now, the way he's playing offense.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I feel like whatever I'm going to pick is going to happen because it's going to be right. I'm going for you, though. I'm going under. I think the Patriots defense is just going to end up being superior to Lamar Jackson. Ugh, yeah, I'm going under. And here we'll probably get like 70 points in. I'll be way off on this one. So we'll have probably a split
120
there.
120 or some crazy number. There.
So just to kind of give some overall scores, back in week 8, we actually had a little differentiation there. Chris went 1-4. I was 2-3. Matt was 3-2, and John was 4-1. So finally, we were all at different points here, which puts us at the overall. Chris is 18-18-1, and you, myself, and John are all tied for first at 20-16-1. So still not a lot of separation overall, especially three of us tied at the top and Chris only two games behind.
Nope, I caught up.
You caught up. You caught up with your 4-1 there, so that definitely helped you. Or, excuse me. 3-2. John had the good week at 4-1. So yep. We'll see what happens after this upcoming week, too. I mean, we all picked App State and the Packers, so that's not going to be a wash right there either way. So I'm going to bank on Georgia beating Florida.
Too much of a phrase for you, but let's go Duke, champ. Oh, and
stay away from Duke.
Chomp, chomp, baby.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's go ahead and wave the white flag. Final thoughts here tonight. What you got?
Oh, my gosh, there's so much going on right now in sports. As you mentioned earlier, there's, you know, kind of the exchange in every different sport going on all at once. I think this is going to be a really exciting week as, you know, we kind of start firing off college and pro basketball. Football's really high in their swing. I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of really cool stuff going on right now, and I'm not going to lie. I'm excited for Saturday and Sunday to see what all comes about here.
Yeah, definitely. I am very disappointed in my Panthers' performance against the 49ers this past weekend. That quarterback controversy is just getting hotter between Kyle Allen and Cam Newton. So that's horrible. I have no idea what they're going to do. And I don't know what I would pick if I were the coach. So that, as you said, yeah, we've got plenty of games going on. World Series is in full swing. We got a good matchup there. Got an F1 race coming up.
Yep. Yeah, sorry.
World Series is, they're moving. I think the Astros are going to end up taking the Nationals, which I would be happy to see. F1 race in Coda this weekend, so that's going to be fun going to see that. So, yeah, we got a lot on the sports calendar. October, end of October, November is that perfect time of year where no matter what sport you like, it's going to be on TV. So make sure you go turn something on and watch it and enjoy it. So with that, enjoy. We're going to go ahead and sign off for the night. It's been fun. And thanks, guys, for checking us out. You can always find us on social media at Sports Garage Pod. Check out our website. sportstalkgarage.com. Get some more information about us, what we do, who we are, all of our content on there. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.